All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given, either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. The rapture. Well, you know, there's a lot of radio and TV preaching that's done on this subject. The bumper sticker I saw that in case of the rapture, this car will not have a driver. Well, let's look and see exactly all of the talk is about. And let's begin by, as always, looking at what the Scriptures teach. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, notice with me as we begin our reading with verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest ye sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We see here that Christians were concerned about those who had died and had gone on. But there's nothing in what we've read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, that said anything about rapture. I did not read that word rapture. And yet some think that because verse 16 says that first, that there is of necessity a second resurrection. But again, that's not so. Nearest to a second is those who are living and will be caught up. In fact, teaching about the rapture is said to be the silent and the sudden coming of Christ. Teaching about the rapture is for the purpose of taking away the Christians. The teaching about the rapture is after the rapture, they say, there will follow 7 years of great tribulation. And further, as those that teach about the rapture, they say that after the tribulation, Christ will come again, and that is what they call a second phase, and they teach about the rapture that Christ will punish the wicked and establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And there's many variations of this teaching, but this is pretty much the teaching in a nutshell. If some of these things sounds familiar, then you've no doubt heard people talking about the rapture. But what's wrong with this theory? And it is a theory. It's a theory just as much as it is the theory of evolution is something that does not have any fact-based whatsoever. The theory of evolution has no facts based in true science whatsoever. And neither does the theory of the rapture have any facts based in the Scriptures. First of all, what's wrong with this theory is that Christ will come the second time. It's in Hebrews 9. It says in verses 27 and 28, as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. See, Jesus came the first time to offer himself for sin. He came over 2,000 years ago and went to the cross, bearing your sins and my sins, and it's now through his blood that we can have the forgiveness of sin. So he came the first time to offer himself for sin. He's coming the second time, but he will come the second time to execute judgment. So Christ's second coming is a coming that will be unannounced. Peter tells us this in 2 Peter. In chapter 3, notice verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. But notice, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Does the thief give any calls ahead of time? You know, we have so many people all down through the time that tries to predict when Christ is coming again. But if that's the case, if his coming can be predicted, then it's not going to be as a thief in the night. If I can predict when a thief is going to break into my house, then I can prevent him from breaking in. But a thief in the night does not make a advance call or drop hints or any of that nature. He comes. It's as a thief in the night. And that's what Jesus' second coming will be. It will be a visible coming. Remember when Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts 1, there's a statement made in verse 11 when he says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So it was a visible ascension. It will be a visible descension. Jesus' coming will be visible, and there will be a lot of noise associated with it, just like what we read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when we read there in verse 16. Again, let's read it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So there will be a lot of noise associated with Jesus' second coming. And he will bring everything to an end. Peter makes this very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3. We read that in verse 10 just a moment ago. But again, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's what we emphasized when we looked at this verse earlier. But notice, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. That's what's wrong with this theory, friends. Christ is going to come the second time to execute judgment, and Christ's second coming will be unannounced, but it will be a visible coming. There'll be a lot of noise associated with it, and he's going to bring everything to an end. There are important events, too, that will take place at his second coming. All of the dead will raise. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 5 when he said in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and shall come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. But you see, the raptures say that just the dead saints will rapture, and 7 years later, the wicked will raise. But notice what Jesus said in John 5, in that hour. So they're all dead, righteous and wicked, will resurrect in that hour. And it will occur on the last day when we're going over into John chapter 6. Notice Jesus says in verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone should see the Son of Man, who sees the Son of Man and believes in him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then one more in verse 54. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So it will occur on the last day. How is it possible to get 7 years in the last day, as John 6 talks about, or in that hour, as Jesus talks about in John chapter 5? It's not possible, my friends. And we know that all will be changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what we have in verse 51 and 52. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." All will be changed. And from what we read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16, is that we will meet Jesus in the air. Notice, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." You know, some say that Jesus is coming back to earth, but scriptures say that the closest that Christ will come to this earth is in the air. So it is then that there are very important events that will take place. And in the end that Jesus will bring, he will bring an end to Christ's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's pay attention to what's stated in verse 25. "For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. And he that hath put all things under his feet," but when he says he's put all things under his feet, it's evidence that he who put all things under him is accepted. "So now when all things are subject to him, then the Son himself shall also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." And so what we need to focus on is the fact that when Jesus comes again, verse 24 says, "Then comes the end when he," Christ, "delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he's put an end to all rule and all authority and all power." You see, when will death be destroyed? The last enemy that should be destroyed is death. When will death be destroyed? Well, it's going to be in the resurrection. Everybody will be living. There will be no dead. When everyone is resurrected from the dead, death will be destroyed. And yet, friends, those that believe in the rapture, they say exact opposite of the things that we read in these verses. They say that Christ is coming to set up a kingdom. That's not what this verse says. Verse 24 says that when Christ comes, he will deliver up the kingdom. That is, he will give back the kingdom to God, not set it up. So truly, it's interesting how that the theories of men completely opposite themselves with the teaching of God's word. As it is in the theory of the rapture, so it is in the theory of evolution. It's man's ideas, but they come exact opposite to what God teaches. The Bible does not teach a rapture with all of the particulars that go with it. And so we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Under then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer. Magnify, O
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.